Starting by just feeling your contact with the ground, the ground's contact with you. Letting what's heavy fall. Allowing the weight of the body to be met by the ground. The body like a heavy bag of grain or stones. Opening and spreading out, or like a flower with a storm opening. Leaving behind memory of the body and image of the body. So when an image of the body comes to mind, just clearly feeling that that's something different from the actual experience of being inside the body. And even so, our actual experience of being inside the body is still, even if there's heaviness, it's still not necessarily what we expect. It's still not something we can hold on to. So letting it be, letting the experience be slippery, letting it be something you can't quite put your finger on, but you can feel. A few things. You can feel cold or hot or heavy or light, texture, movement, energy. And we keep meeting the way that our actual experience isn't quite how we think about it. So even the experience of cold is one thing, and our idea and memory of cold is something else. So leaving room for our experience more than usual, and noticing the difference between the actual experience of heavy or light or a particular texture or whatever. Slippery and not usually that simple to describe once we're actually in it. And so leaving the description aside when possible and noticing the difference between the actual experience and the idea, description, memory, image of the experience. In the moments that you're really into the stream of what's called body experience, hot, cold, movement, texture, weight, density, lightness, position, in relation to pressure, some kind of exchange, maybe on a physical or energy level. Some sense of the space around you. Some sense of a facial expression. In the moments that we're into that stream of aliveness called body, it may happen that the body would actually change your position in a big way or a small way, like someone in their sleep. So just leaving that open in the first few minutes of the meditation, that as we come into the body might actually have a better way of positioning itself than how we thought we should be. So loosening that up, and especially letting the hands go where they need to go. Letting the face relax or be slippery, or letting the whole body be face. So for a few minutes, just especially feeling the hands and feet. Simply feeling their position, their contact with the ground and air, or body and air. Feeling their receptivity also, so not just what they are touching, but what's touching them, the way the hands and feet might have a way of receiving a sense of what they're touching without looking at it. So especially if the hands are somewhere in touch with the body. Not just where the hands are touching and how that feels, but how the hands are being touched by. Any place on the body, any place on the earth. Not trying to figure it out, of course, not trying to involve the describing mind. The describing mind may come, but we can just let it flow away for now. And just let the hands be awake, the feet be awake. Not nervous, not under pressure, just as they are. And just feeling, how does it change your experience of your body and your life when you feel your hands and feet? Letting hands and feet relax, letting them be in exchange with the world. Letting the experience of hands and feet be different from your image of hands and feet and your memory of hands and feet. Sometimes the experience of hands and feet or of any part of the body is somehow bigger than what it seems to look like from the outside. So for now, going with the inside experience, being inside the hands and feet. And then if you were a child, or if you weren't under pressure, if you weren't trying to get it right, or you weren't sure that you're wrong, or whatever, you just let your hands move to where they feel good being for the rest of the meditation. Touching each other, touching the body, touching the ground, whatever way, facing up, down, holding on, not holding on. Covered, uncovered. If you were a child, or if you were crazy, or if you weren't yourself, if you were asleep. And then just for a while, being here is enough, just being here. Just being here is enough for a while. You are enough already. There is enough already. There's nothing that we're going to do, and there's nothing that anyone could do that could take away your value as a human being, that could also make you more valuable. It's already enough. You don't have to be different, you don't have to be the same. If you wish, you may find that the breath calls your attention. And there could be a way of breathing in and feeling the breath and the energy coming up the back of the body. That may happen. And breathing out down the front of the body. That's something that we can leave room for, or we can do on purpose, either way. Breathing out, letting go down the front of the body. Breathing in, energy coming up the back. Or just being here is enough. Any questions? So just before we do the instructions for walking meditation, I'll just say a few words about the Jinshin of the day. So actually we're going to start with the organ of the day tomorrow, not today. And for today there's the chance to play with feeling the hands and feet and feeling what they are, like what is a hand, what is a foot. What happens when you put your hand on your body? Anywhere. What do you feel? You can play with when there is contact, having the sense of as if the cells on each side, so my leg and my hand, cells as if they migrate towards each other, which some people say they do, like within the body actually getting towards each other. And especially playing with the question of giving and receiving with the hands and feet. So when you put your hands on, the easy way of thinking about giving Jinshin Jutsu treatment would be that I put my hands on to give something through my hands. But what happens if what I rather have in my feeling is that I have my hands on the body and the hands are receptive to what they're touching, rather than trying to put something in? So just playing with the difference. According to Jinshin, there is an energy that comes through the hands and feet that's not an individual energy. It's a transpersonal, let's say, energy that comes through anyone, especially the hands and feet, but then the koan of last night of the whole body of hands and eyes. So it could be that any part of the body does it. Let's find out. But just playing with putting the hands somewhere on the body, wherever they feel like being. And what is it like to feel if there's something, if there's some exchange, if there's something being given through the hands or feet? And what happens if I rather let the hands be receptive, like a kind of satellite disc, soft satellite disc, or really receptive and undefended, like a kind of sea jelly, jellyfish, no skin. And then just to mention for those of you who haven't heard anything about Jinshin Jutsu, to play with holding any thumb or finger of either hand. You can do everything there is in Jinshin by just holding one finger, in any way. So it could be that you use your foot to touch your fingers. Or you could use your fingers to touch your foot. But you could just hold a thumb, hold a first finger, a middle finger, a ring finger, a little finger, touch it, hold it with one hand, hold it with the other hand, hold more than one finger. Any kind of contact from the hand or foot, back of the hand, front of the hand, any part of the hand, any part of the foot. So you can play with. But especially playing with what I was trying to really emphasize last night, that if you would first let your body, as if you're asleep, find your position. And then happen to notice where your hands and feet are and what's happening there. That would be a great way of developing receptivity and from there a real experiential sense and knowledge of what a human being is. Any questions? So we start to go towards walking, which means we get to stand up. And it's already interesting to play with going from lying down or sitting to standing. And what change in consciousness comes about in that movement. But since we're talking especially today about hands and feet, and usually the feet are ignored, the intelligence, the helpfulness of the feet, we could start by just appreciating the feet, and you could even really go far in that, like rubbing your feet, touching your feet in a loving way. But to really, we just so take for granted the feet that that tiny little thing can hold up the entire body without a whimper. It's incredible architecture. And the teacher who brought Jinshin Jitsu to the United States, her teacher used to give her Jinshin Jitsu with his hands and feet, even though in Japan that's not considered a very nice thing to do. So in our culture, we don't have as much of a problem with feet as in some cultures. It's really distinctly spelled out, like that pointing your feet towards someone or touching someone with your feet is really, really bad. But we tend to have our feet covered in shoes, so we have less, in a certain way, less connection. So just waking up the feet that they could be as important as the hands. They could be more important than the head. And just how would it be to ask your feet and have a sense of as if you don't just assume the feet will do whatever you want, but just as if we could ask the feet, may I stand up? So not going too far with it, but just that sense of, oh, may I? Will you? Or just a little thank you or something. So standing up, so in India they have, sometimes if you're very close to someone and you say thank you to them, they take it as an insult, because it's as if putting distance. So finding a way to stay close and friendly with your feet, but thanking them without sort of making it more formal. But it's as if we could let the feet stay open. And feeling not just the contact with the ground, but the places where there's space between the skin of the feet and the ground. And really going one by one, each toe. Each toe is a different, it's a whole different world, realm. But just staying really simple, just the contact with the ground, but staying open with the feet, feeling that whole contact. There's a way that recovering the dignity and intelligence of the feet could be that intelligence that we've been missing these last couple of centuries. So just in the most simple way possible, feeling the feet and walking, leaving room for where there might be exchange between the feet and the ground, some kind of communication, some kind of give and take. And feeling free with the walking meditation. Sometimes here on retreat, you have the chance to really keep it really simple and not let it be a thinking exercise. So you just choose one place that you're going to be walking back and forth. So it's not this big soul-searching decision, where shall I go? But just that searching to what is the foot, without even those words, just open feet and just walking. When that can be really simple and open and childlike and light, that's great. And when it starts to be that you're really trying really too hard to be a good foot expert or walking meditation expert or whatever, then it can help to maybe either stop and look around, connect with something, the sky or the nature, or the feet again, just the feet. Or to be with the lower belly while you walk, or to be with the whole body while you walk, or to go on a walk. So especially feeling if the way that you're with the walking meditation as a practice keeps the shoulders and upper back really free, so it's not like a burdening of the upper back and shoulders by trying too hard. So it's almost like with the way of stepping on the earth, we start to find a kind of wings, a kind of sense of lightness in the upper back or shoulders or chest. As we really let the feet go down and have contact with the earth, there could be a sense of something that's also uplifting equally. So just leaving room for that, not searching for it. So just for now, playing with your eyes closed and your feet slightly apart and just shifting your weight, just to feel if there are any questions that come. You can let the movement be simple, but maybe fluid or like a wild animal, not from the head. But maybe more from the tail, lower belly, or the feet themselves, or the earth itself. And there's one other area that can come into the walking meditation more easily than in meditating in the hall with our eyes closed, is that sometimes we'll be walking and the eyes will be open so that we don't fall down. And you'll see somebody else. And they're either walking or they're not walking, whatever they're doing. Someone on the retreat or off the retreat or whatever. And you can get an impression of what your defenses are. What's your impulse towards presentation or reaching out or pulling back or feeling afraid or whatever. And so instead of feeling that that's an interruption in your practice, really letting that be included. Maybe not going to look for it, but when it comes, if it comes. Does that make sense? And just playing with that, letting it be there. Having the chance to tune into also something else at the same time, or really going into what is that? Just simply, what is the shape that happens in my body when I feel I might be watched or judged, or I might be watching or judging? Just as a simple pattern in the human mind that does happen. And if we meet it in a different way, openly as part of the meditation, for example, can be really, really fruitful for our lives. Not just our retreat. Okay, so we have the 45 minutes for a walking meditation if you wish. Always you could stay in the hall instead. Today, sorry for interrupting you with the walking meditation on the first day. But feel free to use the whole morning as a morning practice period in the hall if you prefer.